And we'd like to welcome from Harvell and Collins, the tax man, also known as Andrew Foster. It is tax season, right?
That's right.
Personal taxes are due on Monday, the May 17th.
That's the deadline.
The extension this year.
So exactly. May 17th, tax deadline this year.
Crazy last 2 years for taxes, and the IRS is still working on the 2019 taxes, and that's a whole other topic for discussion at a later time.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, a delay in the refunds this year. You know, we've been talking about that as the services struggle to process returns, especially paper returns. E-filing, they've been able to get those processed, you know, relatively quickly. But those returns that are paper or those returns that are claiming, earned income tax credits, child tax credits, right, these recovery rebate credits that we talk about, if you didn't get your stimulus money, they're processing those, and those sometimes take a little bit longer to get through.
Plus the unemployment compensation that people got then was later said to be tax free, so the IRS is having to go through those returns and make sure that it's all done.
Yeah, they said don't amend your return on those. Just you know, make sure that you they'll take care of it for you. It's just going to be a little bit of delay in getting the money back to you.
I read that the IRS was actually trucking mailed in returns from the 2019 from one facility to another because of personnel, just because of staffing. So it's logistics. So they've been swamped. The IRS has been inundated
these past
2 years.
Yeah. And I think, you know, one of the big things is that we have a tax deadline, and that's, you know, really what I wanted to focus in on today are tax deadlines. Mm-hmm. And one of the major things is we remember tax day all those years ago when I was growing up as a kid, we'd see the people lining up at the post office.
The mailbox.
And And getting their returns filed, getting those certified mailings done, and getting them stamped, postmarked right there on the spot.
Yeah.
There you go.
April 15th.
So you can make sure that you have it postmarked, that particular day so that you don't run into any issues with whether that return was timely filed or not. Because that's the interesting thing about the tax returns is timely mailing is timely filing. So that's the rule. Mm-hmm. It's under 7502 code section. It's timely mailing is timely filing. You know, but it's on the burden's on the taxpayer to prove that. Mike, you know, and I've got a tax court case here today that illustrates this rule very, very clearly. And so we have a simple tax court ruling. And the facts of the case are very straightforward. The taxpayers received a notice of deficiency in the mail. So a notice of deficiency is what I always call your ticket to tax court. So if you get that notice of deficiency, it says that we believe that your reporting, your self-reporting on your tax return is incorrect, and we have made changes to your return, and we are assessing these additional taxes. And if you have any belief that those taxes are incorrect, then it's speak now or forever hold your peace, and that would be file a petition with the tax court. Okay? So in this particular case, the taxpayers allowed their accountant to represent them and work on the petition to file with the tax court, and he prepared the petition. They went by and supposedly signed the petition, and then of course he puts the tax court petition in the mail.
Right.
He did so on the day that the petition was due for filing.
Ooh.
So you have 90 days under a statutory notice of deficiency to get that postmarked. Get that filed.
Mm-hmm.
Again, mailing's filing. So on the day that it was due, the accountant goes to the post office and places the envelope into the mailbox and sends it on to the tax court.
Yeah.
Lo and behold, a little while later, they get a notice. It's a motion to dismiss from the tax court. And the motion to dismiss from the tax court says, you were late in your filing. And of course, the accountant goes, wait a minute.
I mailed it.
That's crazy. I mailed it. I mailed it on the day that it was due. I mean, I'll check my dates again. Let me make sure. Oh yeah. That was the deadline. That's the date that I put it in the mailbox. And the tax court says, well, wait a minute. I'm looking at the envelope right now. We are showing that it was received 10 days after the deadline. And in looking at the envelope, there is no postmark affixed to the envelope. And so, therefore, you know, we're asking the court to dismiss this action for untimeliness, for the fact that this petition was not filed within the requisite time period. And of course, the taxpayer responds, well, my accountant mailed it on the day that it was due. And the accountant puts forth an affidavit and says, you know, on that particular day, mm-hmm. I went to the post office.
Yeah.
I placed it in the mailbox. And, you know, that, and for whatever reason, they did not postmark it, did not do what they were supposed to do at the postal service. And I'm sorry it arrived 10 days later. And, you know, but the fact is that I still mailed it on that particular day. So I'm asking for you to consider our petition and not dismiss this case because we were timely in mailing it. So there you go. There you go, Mike. That's the fight. That's the facts of this particular case. On one side, we have the IRS saying no postmark. 10 days late upon receipt, motion to dismiss. On the other side, we have the petitioner who says, we understand there's no postmark on the envelope, but our accountant did properly mail it. Here's his testimony that says that he properly mailed it. What do you think the tax court ultimately ruled? The tax court judge wielding that gavel, did he go for the IRS and dismiss this case? Or did he side with the petitioner and say, you know what, that's strong enough evidence. We're going to allow the testimony of your accountant to rule the day.
Because the letter got from the post office to the IRS meant it traveled through the postal service, and mistakes do happen in the postal service where letters don't get canceled or there's no indicia put on there. The fact that it carried through the post office, I think the judge would probably see that and stand with the petitioner. judges that.
You got to remember, what is the tax court? Tax court's a rule of law, not a rule of equity. They look at the facts and circumstances, and they see, is there clear and convincing evidence? And they literally say, and it's said in 7502, that says that it's the burden is on the taxpayer. The burden is on the taxpayer.
The minute you said he dropped it in the mailbox mm-hmm. on the day of, I knew yes. this was going to be one of those millions of letters that don't get canceled. What he should have done is spent the time to stand in line, give it to Omar at the Swansboro post office, and say, give me that prestigious Swansboro cancellation now, and watch him do it.
Now, that's a ding, ding, ding. That's right. Exactly what he should have done.
Better yet, send it certified. Yeah. You know, spend the extra bucks.
Because the interesting thing is that when the tax court sends that letter to you telling you you're untimely in your filing.
Yeah.
They say, just provide us a copy of the receipt.
Right.
Provide us the certified mailing.
Yeah, exactly.
And then of course this guy goes, well, I just dropped it in the mailbox.
Yeah. Maybe the post office didn't pick it up that day at the yeah. post office. You're late. It's not in their system, but wow.
So, you know, I brought this case. I thought this is important, even mm-hmm. though it's a very simple case, because just like you thought, oh, they'll give them some relief. You know, they'll give these taxpayers some relief. I mean, heck, they did what they were supposed to do. They, you know, the guy went and mailed it on the day that the petition was due. You know, surely they're gonna say that's timely, and that's wrong. And that means do take the extra time on May 17th if you're gonna be paper filing your return to mail that certified mail, get your receipt. Mm-hmm. Because if there ever is a discrepancy about whether or not that return was timely filed, again, filing, mm-hmm. the burden is on you, the taxpayer, to prove that it was timely mailed. So I think that that's just a lesson for us all right now, you know, during these times where we know the Postal Service is, you know, is inundated, such as the IRS, and there's tons of delays and things go missing and various things. Get that, take that extra time and get that proof of mailing so that you don't run into these same issues as the taxpayers, because look, that notice of deficiency, now that they can't challenge it in tax court, mm-hmm. what happens? That becomes now collectible. That assessment is final. That is collectible. Their only recourse, Mike, is to pay the tax, ultimately pay all of the tax, and then sue in federal district court saying that that was improper, that the amount that they paid was improperly paid because they should have, you know, been able to, they can have to prove their case then to show that the amount that they owed, really they didn't owe. But that is their relief. And of course, you know, you go to federal district court on a matter like this. I mean, you're talking about cha-ching, cha-ching, you know.
Right.
Tax courts, we always talk about, is more like people's court. You can do a small tax court case and it's kind of you get up and say your piece and the IRS gets up and say their piece and the judge kind of hears it all.
Yeah.
You know, federal district court, you've got very specific rules. the rules of evidence and the motions and the complaint and the answer and all the stuff that comes along with a civil litigation matter. And that is just really, really high dollar. You know, you better have a lot, a mountain controversy better be a lot, because otherwise you're not going to find yourself in federal district court. You're just going to have to say, man, that was a bonehead move. I'll never do that one again, and try to make your peace with the fact that, you know, you didn't do what you were supposed to do, or you hired the wrong person, i.e. this accountant, to take care of it for you, who didn't take care of it properly.
No. So what you're saying to the people that are going to file their return at the post office on Monday, the 17th or sooner,
yeah,
is go to the window and actually watch them cancel the stamp there, or better yet, spend $2 or $3 for whatever it's certified,
yes,
or registered mail, whatever that is, and have the receipt,
correct,
in hand,
correct,
that says I dropped it in the Swansboro post office
that,
on May 13th. That's,
there is no doubt,
irrefutable.
There is no doubt. Yeah, exactly, Mike. That's irrefutable. That's a good way to put it, because that is the clear and convincing evidence that you need in order to show the IRS that you were timely filed, mm-hmm, which is critical, because otherwise you're talking about penalties and interest and other things. And in this particular case that we talked about with the deficiency, your case is out of court.
Yeah.
So, you know, those deadlines are so important, and it's important to do what the taxpayer needs to do in order to meet those deadlines and be able to prove that they met those deadlines.
Here's my receipt. I got the receipts to prove it. Call Andrew Foster today at Harvell and Collins. Call 252-726-9050. Tax day is just a few days away, May 17th. Have fun, Andrew. We'll see you next Thursday.